I had a lot to explain this afternoon, but because my time is very, very short, I'm going to focus on the spirituality of faith, and in brackets, fervent prayer. Can you say after me, fervent prayer? Now, one of the mistakes that the Word of Faith doctrinal block many years ago made was when we downplayed the place of prayer in the work of faith. Some of you who have heard faith teachers and faith preaching for a long time must have heard some people say, faith does not come by praying. Have you ever heard some people say things like that? That it doesn't come by praying. And they all only emphasize the word of God, speaking the word of God, declaring the word of God. And the anchor scripture for them is, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I get the point where they say faith does not come by praying. So for instance, when somebody says, oh God, I want to be born again. Lord, make me born again. Lord, make me born again. I want to be saved. Lord, make me saved. Save me. Save me. You see, no matter how much you pray that prayer, if you don't hear the gospel and believe the gospel, you will not be saved. Are you with me? If you don't hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to you, and you believe that gospel, you will not be saved. But you see, prayer is important for them to really hear the gospel. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because when we say faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, it is possible for somebody to hear something but does not hear the word of God. Are you getting this? The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing. And actually, it is better put, by hearing the voice of God. You can be hearing many things, but the voice of God has not entered. The Bible says the entrance of his word, it giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. You can be hearing many things, but nothing is entering. It is the one that entered. Are you getting me? Now, I want to use a vulgar example. Please, pardon me. I'm a Christian. I'm a man of God. But I want to use the example. When a man and a woman comes together in sexual intercourse, they say, is it a million sperms now are released or what? Released into fertilize an egg. It is the only the one that touches that egg is the one that will cause a child. If for any reason there may be a problem in their medical physiology and all of that, and those things don't touch that egg, forget about it. So, they will be meeting together, but no child will be coming. Are you getting what I'm saying? If there is a problem somewhere that is not allowing those sperms to touch that egg, so they may be doing everything religious, and there's no child coming. That same thing also happens spiritually too. Sometimes, you are hearing the word of God. Sometimes, you are hearing the word preached to you, but it's not entering inside your heart. And as long as it's not entering inside your heart, it will not cause the reaction of faith. Are you getting this? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 2, it says, the gospel that was preached unto them was also preached unto us. But the word preached unto them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Are you seeing this? There has to be a spiritual reaction inside you. Are you getting this? And so, faith comes by hearing. But you see, if there are some things happening that is causing the person's heart not to hear, this is the result. So they'll be hearing the message, or the gospel of their promotion, the gospel of what God wants to do. They'll be hearing it. But because it's not mixing properly, this is the reason why people are going to church sometimes and they're not changing. Because they are going to church, they are in church, oh, they are hearing the sermon, but what they are hearing is not what the pastor is saying. They're in church. They're all in church. Say, right on, sir. Right on, sir.
Say, man, that close, that person will be fine. You know? Huh? Are you seeing that girl? Ha ha. Now, so we there for this church. When this one reach, he has joined our level. So, they are all in church hearing. After what they are waiting for is that service to close. Let them start gisting. Did you see that, Madam Agnes? Hey, Madam Agnes has reached us out. Hey, in this church, what they were preaching is not in their hearts. It did not enter their hearts. Sometimes it entered there. Before they finish service and talk, the wicked one comes and catches it away. Sometimes somebody can open his Bible reading. He's reading religion. Has it ever happened before where you read the verse or you were reading the chapter of the Bible? Then you have to call yourself back because you didn't remember anything you read. You were just looking like this. As you're looking at it, shawarma. This is why a person can be in church for a long time. That's why personally, I don't, as a spiritual leader, I don't know how people do it though. You are in church, you're just walking up and down. Carrying your phone, just, I don't know how to do that kind of thing. See, you have to focus. Because you don't know when it will enter. Have you ever been in a service before? They were saying something that was making sense. You were connecting. So, okay, I will get it now. All of a sudden, somebody just stopped you. Pastor, being past the string gone. And you were like, if I blow you. Like, the thing was just about to settle inside. Has it happened to you before? We are trying to concentrate. And all of a sudden, you lost your balance. It can be so painful because your spirit knows what it missed. Are you getting this? So, this is where sometimes you have to engage fervent prayers. Tell me fervent prayers. Sometimes you have to engage fervent prayers. Fervent prayers. Why? Number one, you need to engage in fervent prayers to open up your spirit to hear the word of God. Prayer will do something to your spirit to hear the word of God. Why do you think when we come for services, we pray first and we sing first? We are trying to create an atmosphere suitable for the word of God to enter. And sometimes you don't even know what is blocking the word. If not for time, there were three things I wanted to talk about under the spirituality of faith. I wanted to talk about the nature of the heart, the bane of lack of understanding, the fervent prayers. But because of our time, I will just go straight to fervent prayers. The other two, I will do them in Lagos. Amen. You need to engage fervent prayer. Lord, you know, I was listening to Bishop Oyedepo. He was talking about prosperity. And that there was a book that God gave him the revelation of prosperity where he knew that after reading the book, he cannot be poor. It was actually by Kenneth Gloria Copeland. God's Will is Prosperity. Please, if you have that book, get that book. If you can read it. He said before he read the book, and knew that he can no longer be poor. He had read the book 4 times. Are you getting what I'm saying? He had read it 4 times, but it had not entered inside. So he took a fast. And for 3 days, fasting and praying, reading the same book. And that was where a verse of the book entered into him. And he said, I can never be poor. You see, that was when faith entered. That was when it began. The entrance of that word. So, yes, it is true that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. But if your heart is clouded, if your mind is distracted, you sometimes need to combat it with fervent prayers. Are you getting me? I heard your testimony. You are preserved in Jesus' name. I was touched by that. Did people record it? Was it video recorded? Maybe we'll put something like that is most powerful. Now, from his testimony, he did not know when those words started coming out of him. I am a new breed. Is that right? I cannot die. You see what is happening? In that time of challenge, the Holy Ghost was searching, what can I bring out of this guy's spirit? I will put on his lips that will give him deliverance. That means if the devil wants to finish you, it's not at the challenge he will finish you. He will finish you where he stops your spirit from getting it. He will do you realize that every single time people want to pray, read the Bible, meditate, is always hard. There is always distractions. You know why? That is where the real contention is. For instance, this conference. Oh, why will we have conference 3 days, 4 days? Eh? This person don't tire. Morning, afternoon, night. By evening, we are done. By Sunday, some of you may not remember about the conference. So what will it take? Just that three days. Say, you know what? I will be there all the sessions. 4 sessions, I will be there. I will hear everything. I will listen to everything. I will pray. Are you getting this? I better spend 3 days changing my life than trying to correct it after 30 years. I'm telling you. So sometimes you need to engage fervent prayer. Let me show you something. Matthew 17. You will see something. Matthew 17. You know, I was telling one of our pastors. I said, some people think that conferences are easy for me too. See, that pastor, you're like, oh, preach. That guy, he got in a preach. You know, they tire. Just the. I think I told you I was battling with sleep. Let me tell you, I hold conferences so that I will not be ashamed when I'm giving accounts to God. That's why I hold conferences. When God says hold a program, it's not just I want to just share what I know. I want to share what I know. Lord, what do the people need? Are you getting me? What do they need to know by this time? What do they need to learn at this point? What is lacking in their spiritual life? And the Lord will say, okay, look at this. See the catalog of the things that is going wrong. Those catalog of things going wrong is what we will develop into teachings. If we cannot take it in 1 hour, we'll break it into part one, part two. Are you getting me? That is how it works. It's not also easy for David, though. Sometimes I'm like, God, let this program just finish. Let it just finish. Let me go. But whom much is given, much is expected. That's okay. I've given you all the revelation. You have practiced it. You have used it to produce results. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Go and walk. Matthew 17 from verse 14. The Bible says, and when they came to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic. And so vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oftentimes into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. That means Jesus, are you seeing that? Remember that scripture we read yesterday. Do not say in the heart who will bring Christ from above or who will bring him from the dead. But the word is nigh in the heart. So even when Jesus was on the earth, he was not expecting everything to come to him. He believed, I have taught you enough of my word that by now you should be able to rebuke this demon. Are you getting this? And the demon will listen to you. It's not what Romans 10 was telling us yesterday, that the word is nigh thee in thy heart and in thy mouth. Even the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy heart the Lord Jesus and believe in thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. So, if the word of God is in your mouth, Jesus is expecting, don't come and cry to me. Speak the word. Are you getting this? But now, listen. The disciples not speak the word. They must have spoken the word. They must have said, demon, leave this boy, and things, he did not respond. So, I want to show you why some people are speaking the word and they are not having some results. Are you with me? He says, Oh, perverse generation or faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you with me? Or how long will I be with you? And Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed from him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Everybody, verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. Now everybody, see, read on. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, verse 21. How, everybody read this one with a loud voice. But by prayer and fasting. What is the connection between prayer and fasting, unbelief, and casting out the devil? He is telling you that before your words, he said the reason why you prayed and could not cast them out was because there was unbelief in your heart. And that's why, even though you were trying to speak as at that time, your word had not matured out of unbelief. You were speaking unbelief. You were saying go, but in your heart was like, oh, make it go, make it go. Are you getting this? There was still unbelief in your heart. So your speaking was not carrying the weight it was carrying. What would have cured that thing? That unbelief in your heart is prayer and fasting. If you prayed and fasted, the word of God in your heart would be more potent. Are you getting this? You would have dealt with the unbelief. Why is it that? Have it ever happened to you before? Where you did not pray in the morning. Then you're walking on the road and somebody was shaking sick on the road. And as you wanted to pray for the person, you felt afraid. I did not pray this morning. Has it happened to you before? That thing drawing you back is called unbelief because of lack of prayer. Prayer opens your heart to believe God. Are you getting this? And sometimes you have to add fasting to break all the bones of. There is a way you will pray and fast about the matter. When you are done, they will tell you, don't worry, it's done. Has that ever happened before? You fast about a matter that. So after a while, you say, what about that? And they say, don't worry, it is settled already. I've fasted about it. Because your prayer and fasting has destroyed the mountain of unbelief. You know, yesterday I said, the real mountain God wants to remove is not the mountain outside, it's the mountain inside. Prayer and fasting destroys the mountain inside so that by the time you speak, you can move the mountains outside. Are you getting this? Tell me about fervent prayer and fasting. Let me give you a key. If you are praying about something, or if you are trying to visualize something, or you are trying to stretch your faith about a thing, and it's looking, you are outwardly you are saying, oh God, I thank you because it's done. But in your mind, you're like, hey, how would this thing happen? You know, you can be saying, oh God, I know you will do it, but in your mind, like, God, I beg no for my hand. Oh. God, I beg. When you ever see yourself at that point, take prayer and fasting. Yes. And as you are praying, you are getting the word of God. You are praying fervently in the spirit and taking the word of God. Let every mountain of unbelief in your heart break down. Are you getting this? After a while, there is a way you will pray. You know the Bible says in Jude chapter 1 verse 20, building up yourself on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. So there is a way you will be praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. After a while, you just say, it's done. Are you getting this? Especially when you are fasting. I say, it's done. I know it. I know it's done. After a while, you now have what Ken Hagin calls, a note of victory. You say, glory. You start walking like this. I know it is done. And many times it will come with a rhema word. You shall break forth on the right and on the left. Yes, you shall break. You know what's happening? In the place of prayer and fasting, you have dissolved a mountain of doubt. When you get to the place, the next time you say, I know. It's settled. After a while, because your heart, your mouth, and your inside has come into perfect agreement, you begin to see manifestations outside. Can you tell your neighbor again? Fervent prayer and fasting. So,
It is important. It is an important part of faith. So you are seeing the way Jesus connected prayer and fasting to unbelief and to the subject of faith. Do you realize that even when we talk about the God kind of faith, before God spoke, the Spirit moved. Do you remember? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, Genesis chapter 1. And then God said, God always allowed the Holy Ghost to move first before he said. It's a key. You want to see your words carry power? Pray in the Spirit. Pray and fast until you feel a move. Then, when you have something has been moved in your spirit, it's like getting the Holy Ghost to move is like loading your gun. Then, confession is a trigger. Pah! Are you getting this? You load your gun. Load your inside with the word of God. Then, load it with praying in the spirit. You are loading the gun. Loading the gun. Then, when you are set, oh yeah, open the trigger. Bah! Begin to confess. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The second reason why praying, fasting or fervent prayer is important in the spirit of faith is to completely lay hold on a divine substance and bring it into reality. To completely lay hold on a divine substance and bring it into reality. See here. Do you know my plan for this conference? That by the time we take all the teachings from Abuja, Port Harcourt, and Lagos, you shall be the thing. I'm not just talking about you know plenty of things in your head. I mean, you know what works. And I want to begin to hear faith testimonies. Pastor, I took the word of God that says this about this matter, and I began to declare to myself, I took a fast. And as I fasted, I kept declaring to myself, at the point I knew it was settled. And after a while, I began to see, this happened. That happened. God opened my eyes, and I saw this opportunity. Are you getting this? All of a sudden, I ran into this person. And this person said, oh, is this thing you want to do? Go to this place. Talk to this person. And this began to happen. That's faith testimonies. Are you getting this? I want to start hearing faith testimonies. Amen? Luke chapter 18. From verse 1. Luke 18 from verse 1. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. And speak a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Verse 2. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Verse 3. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because of this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Verse 8. And I tell that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Let me read to you what I wrote. This proves that persistent prayers is a sign of faith. And we must learn to keep on praying until you get a hold of a divine decree. Can you say after me, a divine decree? A divine decree. Tap your neighbor, say, a divine decree. That the matter is settled. He says he will avenge them speedily. But for God to come speedily, you must be persistent. Because there are many matters in the spirit you are settling. Have you seen that verse of the Bible that says, for thou, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven? It may be settled in heaven, but it is unsettled on earth. It may be settled in heaven, but it is unsettled on earth. And you must ensure that what is settled in heaven must be settled on earth. And so you stay in prayer, like this woman. Those days, many years ago, they told us that if you pray once and you're praying about it again, you don't have faith. But I've come to find out that, see, you keep on praying until you get a substance. A substance, and I'm not just talking about a partial substance. Or a, you get a decree, a divine verdict. Complete verdict that this thing is finished. Sometimes, eh? Sometimes.
You should keep on praying until you cannot pray again about it. A time comes where you have your spirit man has gotten so much strength that this thing is done. You want to pray about it, you just say, God, I thank you. I'm telling you what I've experienced before. I've experienced it. I've experienced it both personally. My mom has experienced it. I've shared with you the story before. About since I brought her here to share that testimony. Mommy, you were here that day now. You pray about a matter. Eh? You pray. See, people are not praying in tongues. I think I may need to have another session. Maybe this Sunday, we'll talk about speaking in tongues. Praise the Lord. You pray in the spirit till the whole thing is broken. Let me give you an example of this. So that means, as we can see from Luke 18, persistent prayers is a sign of faith. Well, persistent prayers is not a sign of faith. It's when God has already told you it's done. When you have gotten all the things you need that is done, you are still saying, ah, God, I want to still pray. That's when there's no sign of faith. But until then, keep on. Tell your neighbor, keep on praying. Tell your neighbor, keep on praying. Let me show you something. Now I'm thinking, because of my time, should I share a testimony or should I just... I share a testimony. Okay. I remember when... Who remembers when we were praying for our 30 kVA generator? Who remembers? Who remembers when we were praying for our boss? Do you remember? And almost every service, Father, we thank you for our 30 kVA generator. In the name of Jesus, we receive it speedily. In the name of Jesus, all that we ask, we pray, we receive it. We receive it. And we kept on praying about it. Let me tell you what that does. That does something to your heart. Hey. But if by the time you keep on praying and the matter is done and settled in your heart, eh? When the opportunity comes, because you have prayed, your eyes will see it. Are you getting me? So we kept on praying. Father, we receive our 30 kVA generator. In the name of Jesus. Lord, all the resources for it is supplied. In the name of Jesus. We kept on praying. I remember one day, it was this sister Sophie that was praying. She said, we are so proud about it. She said, Father, we thank you for our 30 kVA generation. And I was impressed because you are praying so much that by now we should have passed the generator generation. It was my fault. I gave up plenty. We have been praying. One day, not too long after that, then let's say like 2 or 3 months or 4 months, safe. Somebody in Lagos Church just sent me a tweet. Say, Pastor, see, this person posted 30 kVA generator for sale. Price. How much did they even put? Is it 3.5 million or something? I said, we don't have 3.5 million. No. Why are we going to 3.5 million for this thing? Then they said, slightly negotiable. As I saw it, because I have been praying, my heart leaped. Are you getting me? That leap in my spirit was a sign that this is it. This is where it is. This is where it is. I have the answer. This is it. But my mind was looking at, we don't have 3.5 million. So I called all my people. Let's start gathering money. There was 600,000 in church account. How much? 600,000 naira. And we wanted to raise 3.5 million in 3 days. God, what are we going to do? As we're talking, somebody called me and said, Pastor, I heard you want to do this. I want to send 1 million. I said, yes, Lord, I need 3 more. I was praying to God that we need 3 more. Okay, we have 1.6. The Lord said, you will pay 1.6. I said, ha. Okay. So we went for the meeting. In fact, We started talking on with them on phone. I, Pastor Ekini, and Pastor Eni, because the meeting was in Lagos. I was praying, and so I told Pastor Ekene and Pastor Eni, go and call them. When they went to call them, they said, we cannot go below 3 million. I was praying again in the bedroom. The Lord said, tell them you have 1.6. Immediately they told them how much. They said, they asked them on the call, are you guys serious at all? In fact, they cut the call. I said, they cut the call. So I said, Kai, well, we have lost that one. But my spirit could not just leave it. I said, Father, I thank you. We have gotten this thing. Father, later in the evening, they called us again. They said, that 1.6 is very bad. We just come, shall come and see generator. When you see generator, you know that this 3 million is the money you must pay. So we went to see the generator. While we were there, the woman was telling us, so we saw the whole thing. The woman telling us, it is, we cannot go beyond 3 million. That's the last price. While we were there, one man just walked in. Everyone started greeting him. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. See, this is prayer, eh? The realm of the spirit. Don't joke with the realm of the spirit, though. Don't joke with the realm of the spirit. Everyone was greeting him. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Then he said, okay, this is our lead pastor. Oh, that's when I discovered that the person I want to sell is a church I wanted to sell it. And the man himself was a pastor. So when I got there, the man said, wait a minute. He said, I see something about you. That's me, oh. He said, you have a prophetic gift. He said, he's top man of God in Lagos. He said, he left generator talk and started prophesying. He said, God says I should tell you. So and so will happen. In a short while from now, he prayed for me, prayed for Pastor Eni, prayed for Pastor Ekene. After praying for them, he said, how much did they say they have? He said, whatever they have, give them. He said, whatever they have, give them. He said, no. That guy is a solid guy. It's not new breed, solid. And that was how we used one. Now, the next challenge, we have paid. Where are we going to get money to transport it? But then I remembered, the one who multiplied 5,000 and multiplied 7,000. Guess what? We have used that 30 kVA generator. We have sold it out as a seed on our ministry. What is we are using now is 100 kVA. So, I'm just showing you in practical terms how that persistent, fervent prayer. See, you have to learn to stay long. I told you our testimony. Let me share with you our testimony. Share with you some things and I will let us go. Amen. Bishop Francis Wale, okay. I heard this one from his mouth. When I heard it, I said, true, there's a reason why they are called fathers of faith. He said there was a time he had a challenge in their church. In fact, the way he framed the story, it was like, it's as though there was a frame up against him. And this frame up was going to destroy everything. It's like, I don't know whether they took him to court. I don't know, something like that. Something, a frame up against him. I don't know. But that's how I put it. He said, then he woke up one night and said, if I wait for a change, like the way I'm going, I may be here, this thing will kill me. He said, every night he wake up at 12 midnight and begin to pray in tongues and declare, Father, you are the one that ruleth among the nations. Give me victory. He will pray in tongues and declare. He will pray in tongues and pray in tongues. He said he did it for the first night, second night, third night, fourth night, sixth night, 50 nights, 100 nights, 150 nights. 180 nights. Every night. Lika barabashataya. I says, and the more he was praying, the more the battle was getting fierce. It was getting more intense. He said, one night, he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And as he was just about to round up, he heard a voice from his gate physically. From his gate, God called him in his native name, in native dialect. God called him. I said, Wale, thus says the Lord, dance before me and pray no further. For I'm going to make your enemies have dry breasts. Ha. He heard it clear, like loud and clear. By the next morning, he was going to, as he, by the time he got to the office next morning, everybody behind the case came and surrendered. And that was how it ended. Somebody will do two nights of prayer. So I don't lie, oh. Oh boy. I don't go die, oh. On the 189th night, he said, by the time he was coming out of that challenge, everything just boom. Everything just exploded. He came out greater, stronger. Fervent prayer. Sometimes you see something happening in your family. You see, the way this my family is going like this. The way this thing is going like this. You start. You begin to pray every night. And you are praying until there is a verdict from heaven. Even when you have a dream that things have changed, don't stop. Oh. Keep on going. Let me read something to you. Don't worry. 2:15. I'll release us to pray. James chapter 5 from verse 13 to 18. He says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. Everybody read from there. The effectual fervent prayer of a... No, I'm not hearing your voice. The rain is also... 1, 2, 3, go. Of a righteous man availeth much. Availeth. This scripture so spoke to us that when we began to pray, availeth was one of our tongues. Alaka barakatata. It availeth. So one of my friends then said, please, is availeth a tongue? I said, no, it's English. Availeth akapataya. It availeth much. Now, read verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that they might not rain. Rain not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruits. Now, go to 1 Kings chapter 18 from verse 41, where this story actually happened. I want to show us something. A mistake that many believers make. They give up too easily. They give up too easily. You know, that verse we read. Sorry, 1 Kings 18 verse 41. Remember when we are reading Luke chapter 18? When the unjust judge said, I know I don't fear God, though, and I don't fear man. But with the way this woman is disturbing me to avenge her enemy, I'll answer. See, have you prayed to the point where Satan go tire? So I said, why did you go and disturb this person now? Why did you go and disturb this person? Why did you go and disturb them? I want to be the kind of believer that when the devil wants to attack me, be planning, say, come, are we ready? Are you sure we are ready for this battle? There are some people that when you touch, they all rise up. You find my trouble. Holy Ghost! Fire! See, you may criticize mountain of fire, eh? But you see this thing, they have it. Yeah. You may criticize them, but one thing you cannot take from them is fervency. Me, what I don't like is that thing where everything is a suspect. Cockroach is a monitoring spirit. War gecko is a familiar spirit. Lizard is somebody's cousin. Everything. There is a kind of fervency. So then we say, oh, mo, we think we don't enter like this. Say, kapalata, imbarabasha kapale, likopete sata, inko. You keep on going. When you get there tomorrow, you stand up again. Avengers, assemble. You continue again. Some of you, you have never changed skills in the spirit before. You have never prayed. See, have you prayed to the point where, have you ever, let me ask a question. Don't raise your hand, though. But if you have not done it, you must do it this week or next week. Have you prayed to the point where you started crying tears? You prayed like this, prayed. You don't know when. You couldn't pray again. It's just tears that were just coming out. I've had such experiences many, many times. 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings chapter 18 from verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Glory. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again. Go seven times. Every single time he was saying go, Elijah was praying. What you may not be seeing there is what eventually was explained in the book of James. Every single time he said, go and check. I go and check. Nothing. Okay. Why is he continuing there? Because he heard a sound of abundance of rain. Many times people hear the sound and go and sleep. The sound is to wake you up to pray. The sound of the abundance of rain is not the rain. It is the sound. Many times people enter a new year. They declare the theme of the new year. Sometimes you even have a dream that things just changed. And you wake up and say, oh, glory to God. No, you hear the sound of abundance of rain. Go and contend. And Elijah kept on praying. He kept on praying. He said, there is nothing. Verse 44. Everybody read verse 44. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare that chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. So now we have moved from just the sound to the rain. Do you know how many people, every time they go for a program, they prophesy about them? There is something great about your life. There's something great about your life. I see greatness. Everywhere they go, I see greatness about you. You know what is happening? They are just hearing sound. Anywhere they go, we see prosperity about you. We see, oh, your marriage is closed. We see, it's coming. And they have been hearing sound. A time should come and say, you know, there are some prophecies that are doing, if you tell me, I see there's something great about me. Now, if you tell me, there's something great about you, I say, we bless God. I've heard that sound a lot. Are you guys what I'm saying? A time will come, we say, I want to move from the sound to the tangibility. Are you getting this? And then you rise up and begin to pray. You pray in the spirit. And don't stop until there is a solid verdict. Because, see, let me even tell you something. Don't start it if you are not ready to continue to the end. If you are not ready to travel to the end, like when a woman is pushing in labor, they will tell you, ma, you can't stop halfway. Oh. You can't stop halfway. You know why? If you stop halfway, the baby is in between. He cannot go back inside. The baby has not fully come out. It's either you kill the baby or you kill yourself. Something, you can't stop halfway. Some of you, as you are entering the month of April, God is already telling you, start contending. It's time to begin. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Start traveling. for a change. If it will take you 90 days, contend every day. Are you not asking why? When we talk about faith, it's a serious work. Because you believe God. You know that his word has settled it. Why am I not seeing it? Oh yeah, I will stand on it until I see it. If you do this thing I'm saying, by the time you are done, not just that you will not just have your testimony, you become a different person. You would have prayed out an old you, and a new you would have emerged. Are you getting this? Jump on your feet.